We will call the meeting of the HDC Audit Committee to order, and we note now the presence of quorum. The first item is approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on November 30th, 2023. Any problems with the minutes? Okay, do I have a motion to approve?
I move.
Second, all in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Kathy, want to go over the agenda items?
So Mary John will be presenting our fiscal year 23 financial statements, and I'm happy to report that it was another strong year.
Yep.
And then Danielle and Rob from EY will be presenting EY's audit reports for this year as well. And then we'll be asking for your approval of the financial statements for 2023. And then Ellen, who is remote today, will be presenting the annual investment report, including the updated investment guidelines for your approval as well. And then we'll have our usual debt and investment report that Ellen will present. And then Mary Hom will be presenting her credit risk exposure and internal audit reports, and then also be asking for your approval on the annual HDC Audit Committee report for 2023. And that's our agenda.
Okay, thank you. So we'll now go to Mary to present the corporation's financial report for fiscal year 2023.
Harry, good afternoon, everyone. So as Kathy said, we had a very good year this year. So in spite of the economic challenges that the corporation faced during the fiscal year related to inflation and interest rates, the corporation had another successful year financially. We were able to continue our commitment to improving the number of affordable units within the city for both new construction and preservation loans. So the corporation was able to navigate the financial markets highs and lows, and we were able to issue $2 billion in bonds in the fiscal year. So those bond proceeds were utilized to finance $1.8 billion in new commitments for both new construction and rehabilitation loans. Additionally, the corporation committed $249 million of its subsidy to finance 1% loans, reducing the cost of capital for our mortgages. In addition to that, we're also able to issue $320 million for the Park Eden Wall bonds in the housing impact bond resolution, bringing that amount to $1.1 billion since its inception. So those are the new things that we created during the year. But the revenues of the corporation increased to $880.4 million, an increase of $143.6 million from fiscal year 2022. Net operating income was $296 million, generated from interest on loans and mortgage-related fees, less bonding costs and other expenses. Operating expenses increased by $78.9 million, or 20.57%. Non-operating income, which was mainly comprised of investment income, saw a remarkable increase from the prior year as interest rates increased. Realized investment income was $109.2 million, compared to $52.8 million in fiscal year 2022. Total assets increased to $24.5 billion, an increase of $2.9 billion, or 13.63% from fiscal year 2022. The increase was primarily a result of the corporation's continued mortgage lending and bond financing activities throughout the year. The mortgage loan portfolio, which comprises 78.14% of total assets, was $19.1 billion, an increase of $2.2 billion, or 13% from the previous year. The portfolio continues to perform well as repayments remain relatively strong. Total liabilities were at $20.1 billion, an increase of $2.4 billion, or 13.56% from fiscal year end 2022. Bonds and debt obligations outstanding were at $13.27 billion in the enterprise fund, a net increase of $1.26 billion from fiscal year end 2022. The year saw continued bond issuances despite the hikes in interest rates. 50 new bond series were sold, totaling $2 billion. The corporation also had a total of $675 million of bond repayments, of which $449 million was redemptions and $225.8 million was scheduled debt service principal payments. Additionally, there were $85 million in debt obligation redemptions and $6.2 million in FFB repayments. Total net position of the corporation was $4.1 billion, representing an increase of $416.4 million from the an 11.29% increase from the prior year. The increase was generated from normal operated activities and better investment income, from which was less affected by the fair market valuation we saw in the prior year. I would like to take this opportunity to thank our Deputy Controller Chuck Yu and the rest of the accounting staff for the dedicated work through this audit. This concludes my remarks. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. record year. I think it's only fair that the outside members get a dividend. No, quite impressive. Thank you. Now the next item is the discussion of E&Y's audit reports.
Gabriel. Thank you, Harry.
Nope.
Good evening, everybody. To my left here is Rob Heffelman, senior manager who works on the audit along with myself and the rest of the team. And so thank you for the time this evening to go through our audit results. It's that season again where we're here in January to present our conclusions. And so we'll take a few minutes and go through this document for those that have the materials in front of them. I know that all of the drafts of the reports and opinions were all provided in the materials. And so I hope that everyone's had a chance to look at those, but we'll take a few minutes to walk you through our procedures and conclusions. And so maybe I'll just first touch on page one of our audit results document, which just a reminder around the audit services that we're doing for the corporation. And so it is consistent with prior years. So we are doing an audit of the financial statements that Mary just presented. In addition to that, we are also doing your federal grant compliance audit, which is called a uniform guidance audit. So doing that audit of the schedule of awards that you can see listed there. In addition to that, also the schedule of investments. So another item that we do our audit procedures over annually. And maybe I'll just call it the last item on that page, which refers to a report on the corporation's compliance with the minimum servicing standards, what we call the USAP report. And so really overall, what I would say is that USAP, the uniform guidance, and then the corporation's financial statement audit, those items all consistent with the prior years in what we're auditing this year again for fiscal 2023. So if I jump to the next page, an executive summary that we included there. And so, you know, really, I think a good summary on the left hand side there, you know, while we are still in the midst of finishing up our audit procedures on each of these deliverables, you know, at this time, really, I think overall our message is that, you know, there are no findings really to report to the members. Really have gotten great cooperation throughout the audit process again this year from Kathy and team and even outside of, you know, accounting and finance as well. So continued great cooperation, and we really appreciate that. You know, really, I think maybe just to summarize what's there on that left hand side, you know, around the accounting principles and the significant estimates that might go into the financial statements, you know, really all consistent conclusions. Appropriately consistent conclusions again this year around those areas. We don't have any misstatements to report at this point that have been or the result of our audit procedures. Overall, don't have any material weaknesses in internal control to call out to the committee. So really, you know, I think all good conclusions there. And really at this point, expect to issue what we call unmodified opinions on each of those deliverables that I talked about. So what you know, auditor speak is for a clean audit report. So happy to report that. Just in the middle of that page, just a quick summary around some of our digital capabilities. You know, I think in the past couple audit cycles, we have talked about, you know, our use of some of our data analytics tools. So we have continued to use that and utilize that, you know, most specifically on the mortgage receivable areas, which is a very significant area of the audit, just the materiality of those balances and the procedures that go into that. So just a, you know, a reminder that we continue to do that and use our data analytic tools in addition to sort of, you know, what I would call traditional audit procedures, which is around sampling and testing of transactions and stuff like that. So just wanted to call that out and remind everybody of that. And then lastly, on the right-hand side, just a summary around some of the open items, as I said, just in, you know, levels of review on our side and some subsequent event procedures that will continue until we issue the audit reports later in the month. But really, like I said, you know, nothing of concern to call out at this point. So maybe I'll turn to Rob. I think he'll take a minute and go through the next two pages that we call our areas of emphasis, really just kind of a brief summary of kind of what we call our significant audit areas, and then kind of a brief audit results for each of those there.
Perfect. Thanks, Danielle. So as mentioned, this page here on page 3 and page 4 summarize those key and significant areas of the audit, as well as on the left side there and on the right sort of the results. And that results will highlight a high level summary of our procedures and any findings that we have, which at this point, as mentioned, there have been no identified differences or findings for any of these areas. But a couple things to highlight here. The areas of emphasis have continued to be consistent. So this is almost identical in terms of those areas to last year. The only difference compared to last year is that there was no need to include adoption of any significant GASB standards. So last year, the corporation adopted GASB 96 or 91 around conduit debt obligations. There were no major adoptions this year, so there's nothing to report in that regard. Couple of items I'll highlight in here just related to those significant balances and those significant areas of the audit. As Danielle mentioned, on the mortgage receivable side, we have continued to focus our procedures on the confirmation side. So where we send directly a request to a mortgage holder to confirm the balance that they owe the corporation as of year end. I'm happy to say that we've continued to work our data analytics procedure to lower the amount of confirmations we have to send out every year, because the analytics allow us to take the portfolio and evaluate the risk profile and really look at the predictability of some of that. There's a lot of predictability in this given the nature and the timeline. And when you can predict that and what actually happens against that prediction is highly accurate, that provides a high level of assurance that you don't need to supplement with other audit procedures. You don't have to bother people outside of the corporation as much. In addition, similar approach on the bond obligation. So we do send a lot of confirms for that. I shouldn't say a lot. We sent 3 confirmation for the many bonds outstanding. No differences identified to date, and that's been consistent with the past. Similarly, I would say the major thing that helps the audit overall has been the support of Kathy, Mary, and Chuck and team. They are highly responsive to any requests we have, obviously providing strong results every single year, and from an audit perspective, make our lives very easy, which also makes your lives very easy, I think, at the end of the day. So we're very appreciative of the continued support you have for us and our team. I'll pause there on the kind of areas of emphasis and see if we have any questions or comments.
Any question?
I'm just wondering if you said this hasn't really changed year to year.
The areas of emphasis.
I mean, that's yeah.
How we approach it is what has been changing. The areas of emphasis are based mostly on, obviously, the materiality, the significance of those items to the financial statements of the corporation.
And does this ever encompass sort of the safety and security of the data itself?
That's a fair question. I think we perform inquiries of the IT group here at corporation to understand their approach to things around user access, manage change, manage controls. Our opinion is we're not opining on the IT environment and not opining on the internal control. So that those procedures are to understand and identify any significant, I would say, significant risks there. None have been identified to date that would require further audit procedures. Now, like I said, we're not opining on that. So if we were providing an opinion, we'd have to go at a much deeper level. But our procedures as a whole are more to understand that environment rather than comment on the security of the environment. But it's a very good question.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, given the change in interest rates from the point of the bondholders, any significant areas of concern?
No significant areas of concern because, I mean, while those rates are changing, we see the impact flowing through appropriately in the financial statements. You see when it comes to interest, whether it's expense or receivables, you see that coming through. So ultimately, it comes down to are, is the corporation accounting for that change appropriately? And it is.
Just a logical question, given the environment.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Appreciate the questions. Maybe I'll just take us to our last section in that document, which is called our required communications. I think we've hit on a lot of our comments that are in that section, so we won't go through every line there on those last couple pages. But really, like I said, no significant findings to report. Intend to issue unmodified opinions at this point in our audit procedures. You know, and in addition to that, you know, we also do fraud inquiries of various staff members throughout our procedures and up until the issuance of our report. At this point, nothing to communicate to the committee members. Certainly, if anybody were aware of anything that you think we should be aware of from a fraud or whistleblower standpoint, we would ask you to communicate that now or find a way to reach out to us. But nothing to report from anything that any inquiries that we've done to date. So just wanted to highlight that as well. And I think with that, that probably takes us to the end of our presentation. So thank you for the time on the agenda today and for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Given the presentations, the next item is the approval of the corporation's fiscal year 2023 financial statements. Do I have a motion?
I move.
Second. All in favor? Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. Okay, next item, Ellen. Approval of the corporation's annual investment report.
Thank you. The New York City Housing Development Corporation is submitting its annual investment report for the corporation and its subsidiaries pursuant to section 2925 of the Public Authorities Law of New York State. The report presents the corporation's investment record for fiscal year 2023. As required by the statute, the report includes the investment record of the corporation, as discussed in the letter before you, the investment guidelines, which were approved by the audit committee members on January 13th, 2023, and ratified by the board members on March 31st, and the results of the annual independent audit, which was just presented to you. This report also includes descriptive charts on HTC's investments and investing environment and a counterparty credit risk exposure summary. So some highlights of the report are as follows. The realized earnings on investments totaled $109.2 million in fiscal year 2023, which is an increase of $56.44 million from fiscal year 2022. This is due mainly to an increase in reinvestment rates during the year. The current inverted yield curve environment and higher short-term rates are factors that we consider in the corporation's ongoing investment strategy. The cost of the corporation's commitments, the majority of investments must be held for the short term, which provides sufficient liquidity for the corporation. In response to the current interest rate environment, the corporation continued to invest primarily in collateralized demand deposits, certificates of deposit, guaranteed investment contracts, and direct purchases of U.S. Treasury and agency obligations in order to optimize yield. As required by GASB Rule Number 31, the corporation has recorded a fair value adjustment in its investment portfolio. The corporation recorded a net appreciation of $5.05 million for fiscal year 2023. As part of the corporation's investment policies, it looks to invest its bonds and corporate-related reserves, in securities with the intent to hold the investment to maturity. As a result, any unrealized appreciation or depreciation is only reported as an accounting gain or loss at this time. HTC's funds under management increased approximately 12.32% from fiscal year end 2022 to fiscal year end 2023, from $3.7 billion to $4.1 billion. The corporation had an 11.29% increase in net position over the last year due to an improved fair value adjustment in its investment portfolio, as previously described. Consolidated investment income was $109.2 million, Of this amount, 80.51 million or 73.7% of the consolidated investment income was attributable to bond programs and therefore not available to the corporation. An additional $2.88 million was earned and retained within REMIC and HAC. The remaining 25.8 million of earnings is pledged to ongoing affordable housing programs of the corporation. HTC did not incur or pay any fees, commissions, or charges for investment services. Treasury operations are conducted by the corporation's cash management division, which uses electronic and telephone bidding processes to competitively purchase securities that meet the corporation's investment guidelines and funding needs. Oversight is provided internally by an investment committee and by various reviews by HTC's credit risk and internal audit units. There are also investment and credit risk reports presented at each meeting of the corporation's audit committee and an annual examination by your external auditors, Ernst & Young. Corporation investment guidelines were last approved by the audit committee members on January 13, 2023, and ratified by the board on March 31, 2023. The investment guidelines were updated at this time to reflect HEC staff title changes, which are found in section 2 of the guidelines. A block line version is included in your package in front of you as attachment 1A. Upon approval by the audit committee and then ratification by the board, the report will be submitted to the mayor and both the city and state controllers as required by the public authorities law. I'll be glad to answer any questions about the annual investment report or the investment guidelines. There are none, the corporation requests that the members approve the 2023 annual investment report and approve the investment guidelines with the changes indicated in section 2 at this time.
Okay, thank you. So a motion to approve the corporation's annual investment report, including the updated investment guidelines for fiscal year 2023.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Ellen, the debt report.
All right. Thank you. So the corporation's debt report is as of December 31st, 2023. The last report presented to the audit committee was as of October 31st, 2023. Please note the highlighted changes in the report before you. The volume cap allocation was corrected to reflect the New York State instead of a New York City allocation. The amount of volume cap did not change. It's just the type of allocation. During this time, the corporation issued 5 series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $425.9 million and remarketed 1 series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $116 million. There's 1 open resolution bond redemption in the amount of $22.5 million, and 2 standalone series of bonds in the amount of $8.4 million were also redeemed. The corporation's debt outstanding as of December 31st, 2023 is approximately $16 billion. And the corporation's statutory debt capacity is at $19 billion. Any questions?
This is a naive question. How often is that limit increased or changed, that statutory limit?
Sure, so we have been going back. It's a legislative change, so we have been getting it increased for the last several years every year because we're financed with NYCHA and we display how we use our volume cap. So at this point, we're pretty well covered, and I think we're going to skip next year going back for legislative change because we have plenty of capacity at this time. But we basically map out what we project as our issuance over the next year into the next fiscal year. So the governor just signed this into law in late October of this year.
Okay. So thank you.
But we keep a close eye on it.
Yeah, 20 sounds better than 19.
Yeah, that might be a hurdle.
Okay, the next item, Ellen, is the investment report.
Sure. Thank you. The corporation investment report is as of January 8th, 2024. Funds under management totaled approximately $6 billion, and this report reflects routine investment activity of the corporation. Questions?
Any questions?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, none. Okay. Okay, on the credit risk exposure, Marie.
Thank you. The report before you is dated December 31st, 2023, and the previous report to the audit committee was dated October 31st, 2023. While there were no new approved counterparties, there was one rating agency action of note. S&P upgraded Deutsche Bank from single A minus to single A, citing the bank's strengthened earnings while maintaining solid capital and liquidity profiles. HDC counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures continuing to be with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Wells Fargo. The Wells Fargo exposure is primarily in the form of construction letters of credit, covering 24 projects and 5 interest rate hedges. Investments rated AA or higher were 46% of total investments versus 48% at the last report, while investments rated BBB or not rated were 40% of total investments versus 37% at the last report. And these investments are fully collateralized by high quality US Treasury or agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. HDC exposure to liquidity providers increased to $740 million from $592 million due to the issuance of the 2023 Series E3 bonds and the remarketing of the 2018 Series L1 bonds. Finally, HDC exposure to swap providers was unchanged at $1.76 billion. Any questions?
Maybe another naive question, which is, are there limits set for those percentages? Like, are, like, do you say we will never go over 50% or we'll never go?
We do not set limits. And you'll notice that we do have some very high exposures in certain areas, and we do monitor them closely. And all those exposures that I mentioned are collateralized primarily by Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. Mm-hmm. So while we don't have set percentage limits or dollar limits, we do monitor those very closely.
Okay. Yeah.
Would there be a, like, if the triple B or not rated was rising closer to 50%, like, is there a moment where there's a flag, or is it sort of like you're assessing just?
We're assessing, and frankly, even though those investments, those counterparties are rated triple B or not rated, the collateral behind them is rated AA or better.
Hmm. Right. And when we had the banking crisis, Ellen, we did, the bank deposits are allowed to be collateralized with government securities or the Federal Home Loan Bank letter of credit. It's called a MULOC. And, we decided that any of these bank deposits should be covered by MULOC. We made all the banks that we have deposits with, because in case there were issues, we could get our money back very quickly with very little risk. And, but we do get very good rates from these banks, and we have very good relationships with them. And we do have many of these different banks. We do diversify, but we do try and keep balances, at a level that doesn't get too high in any one bank.
And one thing to keep in mind as well, some of these banks that are not rated doesn't make them necessarily not credit worthy. It's just that they don't have any debt that's rated. Mm. So we do monitor those financial statements on those banks on a quarterly basis.
Okay. And any bank we do invest with, they have to go through a credit approval. We look at their financials, credit tells us yay or nay, whether or not we can do business with that bank.
Yeah, and the straight double A's usually range between 40% and 50% over the last few years.
Anyway. Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Any other questions, John?
Nope.
Okay.
Thanks.
Next item is the internal audit report.
Thank you. Since the last report to the audit committee, internal audit completed the annual employee certification of the Code of Ethics and one internal audit. With respect to the Code of Ethics, each year, HDC employees are required to affirm and certify that they have read and understand the HDC Code of Ethics, and this process was completed for 2023. With respect to audit activity, internal audit completed the 2023 investments continuing monitoring audit. Here, the objectives were to determine whether the HDC investment portfolio complies with all aspects of HDC's investment guidelines, and to determine whether investments were accurately recorded on custodial bank statements. We monitored the investment portfolio throughout the year on a quarterly basis and found that the HDC investment portfolio complied with all aspects of the HDC investment guidelines. Additionally, the investment portfolio was supported by custodial bank statements and regularly reconciled. Internal controls include segregation of duties, investment guidelines annually reviewed and approved by the audit committee, as you just did, biweekly investment committee meetings, daily mark to market, monthly reconciliation, monthly review of the investment portfolio and approval of all financial counterparties by the credit risk unit, quarterly internal audit review, and audit committee oversight with quarterly reports from the EVP. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Okay. Okay. And the next item is the approval of the annual HDC Audit Committee report for 2023.
Thank you.
Give us that report.
I'm pleased to request the members' approval of the 2023 Audit Committee report. Pursuant to the New York City Comptroller's Directive Number 22, the Audit Committee is required to publish an annual report detailing its activities and decisions for the prior calendar year. The report is a compilation of the minutes from the Audit Committee meetings that occurred during the year ended December 31st, 2023. A copy of this report will be submitted to the Secretary for the Audit Committee of New York City. If there are no questions, the members are requested to approve the 2023 Annual Audit Committee report.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
I move.
Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. And the last item, if there's any other business. Okay. There being none, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. The meeting is adjourned.